I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know, oh, he is my future. My life is worth a living just because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know, oh, he is my future. My life is what I live in just because he lives. Father, we thank you this morning. Faithful are you, Lord. Because you live in us, we can confidently face tomorrow. Because we know that you own our future, we can boldly face the future. This morning, we glorify your name. Thank you for who you are in our life. Thank you for your love, your kindness, your faithfulness. In season and out of season, we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Lord, this morning, we want to hear from you. We ask, oh God, that you speak to us in that language that we understand this morning. Jehovah, hand behind the cross. I ask that you may speak to your people. As your word comes forth this morning, let it profit them. Let it turn our situation around for good in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name we are prayed. Let somebody shout a glorious hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Good to see you. Please do have your seat in the presence of the Lord. Our Lord is a great God. This morning we're going to hear from the Lord. We have been talking about the Holy Spirit and fruitfulness. This week, this month, is Spirit of Fruitfulness. Hallelujah. So fruitfulness, you know, has a spirit that ignites it. Amen. You know, previously we talked about the personality of the Holy Spirit, in which we discussed that Holy Spirit, you know, has intelligence. Holy Spirit has a will. Holy Spirit possesses love. Also possesses knowledge, you know, so many things about the Holy Spirit. And we talk about some of his divine attribute to be that is omnipotent, omnipresent, you know, omniscience. All right, so Holy Spirit can do so many things in our life. Amen. So there are so many to enjoy working with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So I want you to know that if there's anything you need this season, is partnership, work with the Holy Ghost. So this morning, I'm going to be hearing another aspect of the Holy Ghost that talks about the fact that he lives in you. Tell your neighbor, he lives in you. He lives in you. That's why you and I can face tomorrow without any doubt of what tomorrow will be. You know, because he lives in you. He lives in me. You can say it to yourself, he lives in me. He lives in me. You know, this lady, is it Diana Ross, said that, you know, there's no mountain too great, you know, because he lives in me. So there's no mountain too great, no matter how big, no matter how strong, no matter how long the mountain have lasted, it can never overcome me or stop me from fulfilling destiny because he lives. Hallelujah. Because he lives in you. So this morning we'll be hearing more of that. It is true that people say that no one knows tomorrow, but I can tell you that tomorrow can be predicted. Tomorrow can be predicted. How? You know, by the things that you do. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 37, 33. It says, mark the perfect man, mark the perfect man, for the end of that perfect man is what? Is peace. Mark the perfect man, for the end of that perfect man is peace. It means that the future of that man has been predicted. That no matter what happened, the future of that man will culminate in serious peace. You know, why others are crying, why others are in pain, confused, this man is busy enjoying peace. Isaiah 26 also tells us that, I think verse 3, Isaiah 26, verse 3, he says, you know, he will keep them in perfect peace, those whose mind are stayed on him. Okay, look at it now. They have some things in common. They have something in common. Why? He said, mark the perfect man. The end of that perfect man is peace. And he said that he will keep them in perfect peace, those whose mind are stayed on him. So it means that if your mind is stayed on him, okay, if you're perfect, by his own description, hallelujah, you are bound to enjoy peace. Unstoppable. Hallelujah. That peace you enjoy, this is in the mighty name of Jesus. I said, that peace you enjoy, this is in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, if you look at the life of Saul, 1 Samuel 6:14 tells us how, you know, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Saul, that was a man that people used to cherish, admire. At some point, they were asking, is Saul still among the prophets? Meaning that they celebrated him at one time of his life. But at some other time, this man, you know, became another thing, that another spirit took over him, and he began to do something, you know, that we are not confident, you know, that we are not in line with the plans and purposes of God. I want you to know that something led to that particular thing that made this man to get to that level. That will not be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, because of our time, let's just go quickly. What does it mean to say that the Spirit lives in you? Just like we define here, he lives in you, he lives in me. What does it mean to say that the Spirit lives in you? When you hear that he lives in you, what does that person mean? What does it imply? Number one is that it means that the Spirit dwells in you. It dwells in you, it's active in you, and it's very functional in you. It means that the Spirit dwells in you, you know, active in you, and then very functional in you. Number two, it also means that the fire of the Spirit is still burning in your life. Fire of the Spirit is still burning in your life. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew 3, 11 tells us that John baptized with water, but Jesus baptized with what? Water and what? Fire. Praise the Lord. So when that fire is still burning, you know, in you, it means that he lives in you. When you look about concept of living, I think it's a continuous, you know, a term. Means that something that lives in you, that is living in you, you know, it's not that it has lived to a point and stopped. It's living continuously. You have relationship with this, you know, Spirit. You know, you are in tune with this Spirit. So that is what it means. So it also means that the fire of the Spirit is still burning in you. Number three, it means that you are exercising yourself spiritually. Praise the Lord. So for you to say that he lives in you, it means that you are exercising yourself spiritually. 1 Timothy 4:8 tells us that physical exercise profited little, but spiritual exercise profits in all aspects of our life. Praise God. Physical exercise profited little, but spiritual exercise profits in every dimension, all aspects of your life. All right. So it means that you are exercising yourself in the Spirit. Praise God. So for him to live in you, for you to say that he lives in you, you are exercising yourself in the Spirit. You have the fire of the Holy Ghost in you. It's functional, very active. It dwells in you. Praise God. What happens when he dwells in you? What happens when he dwells in you? You experience uninterrupted fruitfulness. Praise God. You experience uninterrupted fruitfulness. Fruitfulness uninterrupted. That's what you will experience. You experience uninterrupted fruitfulness. Number two, you experience all-round fruitfulness. Psalm 92, verse 12 tells us, you know, that the righteous shall flourish like what? Like the palm tree. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree is such a wonderful tree. Not like an oak tree. Not like an iroko tree. They are so gigantic, tall, big. But in times of storm, sometimes you see an iroko tree fall to the ground. Hallelujah. But the palm tree has this tenacity to withstand pressure, to withstand all forms of storm. Everything about the palm tree is very useful. While others are falling, palm tree will still be there. Even if it bends after the storm, it gets back again. Praise the Lord. Thank God for our papa here, Papia, Mr. Kume. He did a lot about that palm tree. He talked about the economic value, social value of the palm tree. He said also that the life of the palm tree is inside the palm tree, meaning that nothing that happens outside the palm tree affects the palm tree. So the life of a man is inside. You are internally motivated, not externally motivated. Hallelujah. So the Spirit works in you. That's why I say He lives in you. And then He takes care of what happens around you. So it's not what happens. That's why I said that I'm not moved by what I see. But I'm moved by what? By the word of the Lord. So the palm tree has so many great things. It has economic value. You know, the leaves, all of them has serious impact. It has medical value also. The palm kernel oil, you know what it does? It's medicinal and the rest of them. So everything about the palm tree is useful. That's why God decided to describe the righteous to be like the palm tree, meaning that God wants you and I to be useful in all dimensions. Why I'm saying it this morning is for you to be charged up. It's for you to be challenged, for me to be challenged. That whatever is not working in our life, He lives in you. He has the ability to bring it alive. He has the power to make it work. Listen, until you are uncomfortable with where you are, you cannot move to the next level. Why I'm talking about this, for you to challenge, to be challenged, to be uncomfortable, that Lord, I want this thing fixed in my life. I want this aspect, because You said that my life shall flourish like a palm tree. Say, flourish. Flourish. Now, you are not in the level of being comfortable again. You are not in the level of being rich again. You are now in the level of flourishing. That's a great level. Flourishing that you can give to so many. So everybody taps from the palm tree. And yet, do you know that you can get wine from that particular place also? There are so many you can get from the palm tree. Go and read Papa's book. Hallelujah. All right. So many things is in the palm tree. Palm tree is very useful, you know, for you and I. So God wants us to be all-round fruitful. All-round fruitful. So that's why we are saying that the number two, you know, of what happens is that you experience all-round fruitfulness. Number three is that your mortal body are quickened. Your mortal body are quickened. Romans chapter 8, that's where the core scripture is. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If you begin to read from verse 1, then to 11, you will see stories about the man of the spirit. Now, let me just quickly read this place. Verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. 2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Please take note of this verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. So what you mind. No wonder the Bible says that we should guide our heart with all diligence. For out of it at the word issues of life. It starts from your thought pattern. Your thought gives birth to your words. Your words, action. Your action, character. And your character, what? Your destiny. So you see that charisma can take a man to a position, but it takes character to sustain it. Can I put it to you this morning that it takes more time, more energy, more planning to what? To manage success than failure. So what it takes you to sustain something is more than what people spend in remaining on the floor. So it's not about getting up. It's about managing that position, sustaining that position, because so many things will be attacking you. Praise God. So he says, those whose mind are stayed on him, these are the sons and daughters of God. Let's go to verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? It's life and peace. He said, because, now, let me just look at that peace aspect. Peace is what people spend money to get. So many people buy waterbed, all manner of things. Raymond and Flenega. What are they looking for? To put their house, you know that. Just for what? For peace. Some of them drink a lot. Medication, you know them. Before they have some peace, before they can sleep. The Bible says that the Lord giveth his beloved sleep. Sometimes I will just be trying to read at home, and then you will see my children say, Daddy, you are sleeping. I say, I'm just welcome. Be like, why? Because the Lord even give me sleep. Why I am trying to study? Why some spend so much to buy sleep? Go out there and make research. You will agree to what I'm saying. So many spend to what? To buy sleep. He said, he giveth his beloved what? Sleep. All right. So this peace comes to you naturally by the relationship we have with God. So if that spirit lives in you, it gives you what? Peace. Now let's go to verse 7. It says, because the carnal man is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. The carnal man is enmity, what? Unto God. Imagine a man being an enemy to God. How will it be? Now look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh. Tell your neighbor, ye are not in the flesh. But in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, the 11th verse says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Some translation will say, if that spirit that raised Jesus Christ lives in you, continually lives in you, now he has the capacity to impart your body to hate sin. Do you know what the Bible says? To love God is to hate sin. So that spirit of grace that has a principle of love and faith, it makes you to hate sin. It does not just quicken your mortal body by way of healing you totally. It has some divine healing accrued to it also. Then it quickens you to do the unusual. It quickens your mind. It quickens the kind of wisdom that comes out of you. Do you know that we have wisdom of the world and wisdom of God? The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of that, what? The end of that is destruction. So wisdom of man can lead to destruction. But wisdom of God can make you prosper and be fruitful. So when the Spirit lives in you, it imparts you with such a wisdom that is rare here on earth. Praise God. So if you want to exercise that wisdom, you need that spirit to live in you. Now, the law was weak. No, sorry, the law, you know, people, they say that, do I say now, that the law wasn't weak, But the flesh was weak in obeying the law. Praise God. It's not that the law was weak. You are still meant to obey the law. But this spirit came and imparted in us such that we will not be able to obey that law without knowing, with ease. So when you are imparted, when this spirit lives in you, you obey this law with ease. Jesus did it. He condemned sin in his body. He demonstrated it for us. So he did not just come to die for us. He came to die for us and also to show us the way that it is possible to live a holy life. It's possible to be at peace with God. It's possible to love your neighbor no matter the offense. It's possible to forgive as if nothing happened. Praise God. So when the Spirit lives in you, all these things accrue to you. And you exercise them with ease. It quickens your mortal body. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Say, we are pressed, you know, on every side. But we are not crushed. When the Spirit lives in you, you are pressed on every side. You are perplexed on every side. But you are not in despair. You are persecuted on every side. But you are not alone. You are cast down on every side. But you are not destroyed. When that spirit lives in you. It does not mean that challenges will not come. Battle will come. That's a test of who you are in God. But because he lives in you, you are pressed on every side. Remember, on every side, anywhere you go, it happens. You look as if the world has come crashing on you. You are perplexed on every side, but you are not in despair. You are not hopeless. He lives in you. Tell your neighbor, he lives in you. He lives in you. When he lives in you, the unusual can happen in your life. So I want you, as you live here this morning, go with the mindset that he lives in me. He lives in me. Therefore, I can do the unusual. Now you begin to look at those areas of your life that is not functional and begin to call it forth to function. You know them by their names. Because you have this understanding that he lives in you now, then you call them alive because it's already there in you. So how can I ensure that this continuous interaction is? How can I ensure this continuous interaction? Because you see that sustenance is where the work is. Maintaining that relationship is where the work is. It's not just enough to say that he lives in me. Yes, we can say just like what happened. But does he really impart you? Are you acting in accordance with his plan and purposes? Can I tell you this morning that you cannot enjoy the comfort of the Holy Ghost until you abide by his rules? So many Christians claim this, but they don't enjoy the comfort. Why? Because they don't yield. So that's why I said that it's not about attaining position that matters. It's sustaining those positions. Year in, year out, people still see you flying. The Bible said that the path of the righteous, it's like what? The shining light that shines more and more unto a perfect day. You can never have a better yesterday as a child of God. You should not have a better yesterday. Everything about the palm tree is green. Praise God. So how can I ensure this continuous interaction? Number one, you should now walk in the Spirit to ensure this relationship that will help me benefit all this. You should now walk in the Spirit. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. What did he say there? He said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill, right? The law. You will not fulfill the works
of the flesh. Walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the law, the works of the flesh. 2 Peter 1:2 tells us about growing in grace. He said, grace and peace. Have you seen that it goes with peace? 2 Peter 1:2. Note it. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Grace and peace. So it means that you can grow to multiplication. You can grow in it. You can grow in grace. And peace also. That no matter the storm, you're not moved. Jesus was in the boat. And things were happening. And the disciple looked at this man and said, is he the guy, the same man? Is he here with us? Carest thou not that we walk? We perish here. Why? Because of what he has inside of him. So no matter the storm, as a child of God, you remain calm. If the Spirit lives in you, truly, you're not perturbed. Because you know that your tomorrow is secured in him. So you should walk in the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit means growing in grace, studying, following God, walking away from sin and appearances of evil. That's sanctification. Also, now, the nature of sin has been dealt with. We all know that. But as we are taught, your feet is still there, interacting with the world on a daily basis, dragging you. Do you know that the children of this world are very wise? When they want you, they know how to get you. They can spend their last to bring you to their side. When somebody is out for you, a girl, a man, and want to get your attention, he can spend anything to bring you. So they also use their own way, but their wisdom is foolish one. So what it means is that you should apply that wisdom. He said, be wise as what? As serpent, and be as gentle as dove. But you need that wisdom to be ahead of them, to understand their tricks and walk away from it as fast as you can. Amen. He said, flee from youthful lust. He did not say run. He did not say, right, we have been taught here. He said, flee when it comes to that. Flee from youthful lust. So when you are there and you see some of those lines, you see those suggestions, you will do what? You flee at all costs. So you grow in grace, grow in the word, grow in love of God, in the principles of grace, faith and love. Grow in it. That's what it means to walk. Number two, way of ensuring that continuous interaction is that you should, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body, and ye shall live. Romans 8:13. In verse 13 here, it says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So that person that have that living relationship, it says that through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the flesh. So flesh will suggest, flesh will prompt you. But it's your duty to say, no, I'm not going to fall to this. Yes, sometimes even when you want to do anything, your flesh will say, ah, stay longer. Do this, do that, do that. You will by the Spirit, I refuse that. That is what guarantees that relationship. So that's where Christians are missing it. Now we have the Spirit, but are you conscious of that relationship? Relationship is something that you invest in. You know that. Even marital relationship, you invest in that relationship. Some people say, you don't need money. You know, there's no money in love. But you use money to nurture love. Yes. Money is not love, but you use money to lubricate it. So you must have to build that relationship. You work on it to make it work. So it's work, responsibility. He said, we should be vigilant. First Peter, we should be sober. That what? That our adversary, the devil, roams like what? A roaring lion, looking for whom to devour. So for you to maintain that relationship, you must be vigilant. You must be sober. Knowing fully well that the adversary is not sleeping. In that kingdom, they work 24 hours. But in the kingdom of the children of God, you see what's happening. How many hours do you walk? Do you wait on the Lord? Do you pray? I'm speaking to both the viewers all over the world. You know, God wants us to tarry in his presence also. Knowing fully well that the kingdom of darkness walk day and night. See, he runs like a running lion. Keep moving. You know how he move? Keep seeking for who we make mistake. Who we form. Who we misbehave. Who we be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Takes advantage of you. Who will be quarreling with the husband or the wife? Having argument, he sees that, this is a good ground. He comes in and sow a seed of this God. These people are not in love. Yes, okay, he comes here. He sowed that seed. He keep going, keep looking for whom he will put in bondage. That will not be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. But then we must be vigilant, sensitive, our children of God. Say, be vigilant. I want you to have that at the back. Be vigilant. So sustaining success is where the work lies. It's not getting up there. Character. Charisma can take you up, but it takes character to sustain that position. Number three is that you must refuse carnality for its enmity against God. We have seen it in Romans 8:7. You must refuse carnality. Anything that looks like carnal lifestyle, you run away from it, no matter how it's clothed. Yes. You run away from what? From it as fast as possible. Appearance of it, you run away from it because the result is already known. He said, seeth a perfect man. The end of that man is peace. So there are people you don't need to tell how far this way. There are people who will look at somebody and say, you will not go far. It's not a curse. They have seen the antecedent of that person, the attitude, the lifestyle, where the person puts his or her strength. I know that if the person continue this way, we will not go far, except he making change. But he makes a change. So God is calling us this morning, Sirs and Mass, to reassess our life, to learn to walk with him, refuse carnality, offer our body as a living sacrifice. Remember, you can vest the Holy Spirit. You can vest the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 63 verse 10. Isaiah 63 verse 10. Telling us about the goodness of God in the life of his people. I said, but at some point they rebelled and vexed the Holy Spirit. He said they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned and became their enemy. He turned and became the enemy. So you can vex the Holy Spirit. You can also grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. You can grieve the Holy Spirit by what? By corrupt communication. Unknown to you, grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, it affects negatively your productivity. So when the Holy Spirit, you know, that ensures the information. Remember that last time we talked about information also? He ensured that you get classified information. You grieve him. Now, when I grieve a man like this, what happens? The man, first of all, will retreat and begin to watch me from afar. By the time I regularize, the person comes back. So when you grieve the Holy Ghost, he watches you. Of course, you know that that time, a gap has been created. What if you need information that is very serious. What if that time is when you want to make critical decision? That's where people enter into error. Not that they were not Christians. Say, guide your heart with all diligence. Guide your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. You watch over it. Become sensitive. Watch what guessing. Watch what you say. Watch your action. Watch your words. Watch your thoughts. Your thought, sooner or later, will become your words. Your words without taking time will become your action. Your action without spending much time. Your character and your character destiny. The Lord will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So we should not vex the Holy Spirit. We also should not quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19 tells us that you can resist the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:51. You can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12:31. You can resist him. You can quench him. Of course, you know a car that is quenched somehow. You know what happens to that car? You have a car. Truly, you have a car. And I ask you, I need you to take me somewhere with your car. He said, you now tell me that your car is in Chicago. Is that car functional at that moment? But truly, you have a car. Or something happened to that car somewhere. 95. Now I want to use the car. Will not be useful. So you can quench the Holy Spirit. So God is calling us this morning to watch our actions, watch our ways, watch our relationship, watch what we do per time. I want to let you know that as the Father raises up the dead, the Son quickeneth who he wills. John 5:21. As the Father raised the dead, the Son quickeneth who he wills. You remember in the personality of the Holy Spirit, we discussed the will. He has a will. You also has a will. So he wants us to cooperate with him. He wants us to walk with his standard. He wants us to take his counsel, paraclete, advocate. When he gives you suggestion, and you go there and say another thing, of course, the case is threatened. Because you are going out of it. There are some statements you don't make when you are pursuing a particular case. There are some statements you will make. They are very material, sensitive, that it will lead to other areas. Before you know it, you have lost that case. So the paraclete, the advocate, tells you what to say and what not to say per time. So if you don't comply with that, of course, you already know the result. God will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So to get all these things done, you must give your life to Christ. If you are watching me by way of Facebook, if you don't know Christ, you are far from all this I'm talking about. As this morning, I want to call you to get back to him. You want to walk with you? He lives. If he lives in you, then every long-standing challenge will be settled. Therefore, lift up your voice right now and say, Father, have mercy on me. I'm talking those who want to give their life to Christ, wherever you are. Father, have mercy on me. I come to you this morning. I recognize that you died for me. Please forgive me. Cleanse me from all righteousness. Remove my name from the book of death and put into the book of life. Above all, give me the grace to live a holy life. As you have prayed this prayer, so shall it be in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you because you're a faithful God. Can you just wave your hands unto him and worship him right now? Glorify him now. Talk to him. Say, Spirit of the living God, come, my friend, show me. Spirit of the living God, come, my friend, show me. Spirit of the living God, come afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, come afresh on me.
Father, we thank you this morning. Your word is here and amen. Say, you send forth your word to heal us, to deliver us from all forms of destruction. He said in your word that because they did not mix your word with faith, it did not profit them. I pray this morning, Lord, everything we have said, everything we have heard, let it profit our life in all dimensions in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, King of Glory, because we know you have answered us. In Jesus' precious name we are praying. Let somebody shout a glorious hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's quickly.